Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I am absolutely honored to introduce to you your guest speaker, who is a pioneer. Let me just say this, and I'm not kidding. In the pantheon of radio greats, from Rush to Stern, people, name it, and our forebears, Alex Jones will be there because what he's doing is redefining it. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones.
As everybody does, but I've definitely got to get him on the radio now. That was awesome. And he did steal a lot of my thunder because he's just recognizing reality. First off, I want to thank everybody for inviting me and the folks that run Talkers. I want to thank Ted Anderson for the last 14 years backing me up with my radio show as it's grown. And it's great to be here in New York, and I'm glad I flew in after it cooled down a bit because, you know, it's cold down there in Texas. We can't handle the heat. I think that Lionel really encapsulated at the end of his speech where I'm going to begin, and that is there is a great transformation happening. I mean, everybody knows that. And I've been invited here because folks in talk radio realize that there's a storm going on. Well, actually, that's just the front edge. The real storm is coming, and the landscape of the future is being formed right now. And again, all of that is a basic truth that you know. What's happening is the social engineers, Edward Bernays and others, got a jump on it and realized it, and the Department of War realized it, and they all wrote books, and they said we're going to basically standardize humanity in the same way that Henry Ford was designing the assembly line, okay? And so what's happened because of the internet that DARPA and the NSA set up, they openly said in the 60s, this will control everything, we'll track everything in reality, it'll be a total panopticon of surveillance and control, so that we can carry out our engineering. And this is all public. And they said, we'll keep people in this tiny reality while the technocracy develops a separate breakaway civilization. And they call that the New World Order banking cartel. But what's actually happening through that system and through the claim of national security, a whole nother world of technology, black ops, systems has been developed, and the whole ruse of terrorism is the pretext to put the clamp down on the population and then also begin to basically come out in the open with the system where you have the trusted travelers, the normal travelers, and the untrusted travelers, and no one knows how you get on those magical lists. It's a new class system. And why do I raise that point? And then I'll get into new media and ideas that I can impart to you if you think they have any value. And it's this. What's happened is they plan to use the worldwide wiretap, the web, as a control grid. But it did blow back. There were individuals that recognized what was happening and desperately used that system in a way that the establishment thought we wouldn't. They overestimated with their hubris and their arrogance because these technocrats literally have serious delusions of grandeur. And because that's happened now, the population has awakened. Now, they haven't awakened to the full spectrum of what's happening, but they've awakened that there's more going on in the world than the top three or four stories every day. And they've awakened to that major changes are happening. And in their gut, they're searching. And in that searching and getting outside the box, to use the cliche, and then getting outside of that box and that box, and
money. Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, we have some really good news today. Also, a lot of bad news, but there is a lot of good news on the front of awakening, on the front in the fight that we're waging to attempt to get people to start thinking about who runs our society, the things that we're told by our governments, the things that we're told by the major mega corporations. So we are having some major victories in the war that's going on for all of our minds. Because if we're going to save our civilization, it is going to be an inside job. It's going to be something that we personally decide to do in our own lives that will then make ripples out from there expanding. Okay, there's a lot of Middle East news, economy news, big developments on the radiation front out of Japan. What we reported on 2 months ago is now mainstream news that the federal government has raised what they claim the safe levels of radiation are here in the United States from Fukushima. And there's also some new reports dealing with the situation with the power plant in Nebraska, so we're going to be going over all of that today as well. And we do have Gerald Celente popping in to join us to talk about the first great war of the 21st century that is beginning to unfold in North Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia, and we're going to examine what is the real definition of a world war. I put a video out last Friday that's had around 325,000 views. It should have 300 million views if people really understood how much danger we're all in. And I've got an addendum, a special report coming out later today. We may even premiere it here on air, where I go through and define from different encyclopedias and different dictionaries what geopolitical analysts and historians say a world war is. And by every measurement, we've been in a world war in the last 9 years. And George W. Bush did say in an ABC News interview and other interviews, you can just pull it up, George, you know, President Bush says war on terror is World War III. And that is exactly how the Pentagon defines it. They also defined the 50-year Cold War, or right under 50 years, from 47 to 1991, as the Third World War, using proxies. The Pentagon and many military history historians call that World War III. So do you call this then World War IV? And when you look at the war on terror, it's a war on our liberties, a war on our freedoms, for something statistically that is not as dangerous as dying from lightning strikes, tornadoes, automobile accidents, firearms deaths, sporting accidents. I mean, the list goes on and on. As I've pointed out many times and gone over the statistics, around 150 people in the United States die each year from wasp stings, right around 105. It varies, but it's generally over 100 die from honeybee stings. And then several hundred die from spider bites, and close to 1,000 die from complications from snake bites. You can, again, pull those numbers up online or get it from your World Almanac. Why, then, are we talking about giving up all of our liberties and all of our freedoms for the boogeyman of terrorism? And there's this idea in modern globalist law that they're attempting to basically overwrite European and British and U.S. common law, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, They're also attempting to even overturn Napoleonic law, which is not seen as pro-liberty as English common law, but even that is basically being overwritten by this neo-colonial maritime administrative law, where they describe it as maritime. And basically say land, sea, or air, they can do whatever they want and just have agencies write up regulations. And they are clearly prosecuting a war against the existing order and the existing structure. And it has a thin veneer of nanny statism over it, claiming that this is all done for your own good. And there's lots of signs about drive safely, wear your seatbelt. We want to take care of you. We care about you. And that's basically a propaganda that is bought into by the police, bought into by the military, bought into by the bureaucrats, bought into by the general public, that this is all being done for our own good. And so it's kind of a feel-good thing by compartmentalized individuals and the private and public sector to really believe that everything they're doing is for a great good. And that's why they have the classic cliche that does absolutely ring true, that the road to Hades, the road to hell, is paved with good intentions. And so there's this idea that you must be protected. And that's why many suburbs now around the country first license and then ban having a horse in your barn. Because a horse might throw you and break your back. A horse might jump out of its fence and run into a car. In fact, I've seen lately cases of, as cities grow into the rural areas, they're saying, well, you may own this 400-acre ranch, but we've now built subdivisions around you. You can't have your cows because a cow got out and a car ran into it. And because cows might get out of somebody else's ranch or farm in the future, we're going to ban you having cows. So it's that idea of prior constraint. A terrorist might sneak on this airplane and blow it up. Therefore, you are all treated as if you are guilty until proven innocent. But it's all for your own safety. And, oh my gosh, somebody got thrown off a horse and broke their neck. And so we're going to ban you having horses in the incorporated county in this town or that town. Or you saw it a few months ago with the new law in New York State, where they're going to, in some cases, 150-year-old summer camps, well-established. And they're saying you can't have dodgeball, you can't have tug-of-war, you can't have King of the Hill, the capture the flag. You know, you can't have any of this because somebody might get hurt. Sorry, you can't do it. You're going to have to stay indoors and play chess. Because somebody might get hurt. Well, you're going to get hurt. You're going to die. Kids are going to climb trees and break arms. Sometimes you're going to go swimming and you might gulp in some water and pass out and die. You're going to die driving down the highway. Some of us are going to die. I mean, it's going to happen. This idea that everything has to be safe and everything has to be pre-controlled. And that's the idea on speech. That's what they've done in Europe. They're now doing it in the United States. Google has put us on notice that owns YouTube. They may completely shut the channel down with 117 million views and growing, several million a week now. It's really accelerating. And they've told us because what you said about Obama could be construed as racist. Nothing about his race, nothing about race, period. We just said he was a tyrant and a thug. And that they shouldn't try to censor people putting up Obama Joker posters that depict him as a criminal. Whether you love him or hate him, it's our First Amendment. And they said, no, it's not. It's not your First Amendment because it might offend someone. It might cause someone to get angry. You might inflame someone's passions. Well, if you go to a church service, it might inflame your passions. That, in Canada, they've banned and have arrested, you can look it up, many preachers for reading anti-gay passages. Well, whether you love it or hate it or don't care, it's their right to do it under free speech. But again, now there's that prior constraint and the government sending out letters saying you might hurt someone's feelings. You can't say this. And so it is the end of freedom. And it's all sold so we can have this loving utopian system. But when you look at the so-called liberals, they're not useful idiots. They're not morons. They're not environmental wackos. They know at the top exactly what they're doing. When Chris Matthews comes out and says, if you don't want government-run health care, you are a racist. You hate black people. That was a talking point on CNN and MSNBC for a year, over and over again. You are a racist. You don't like the White House budget going up? You are a racist. We've played those clips. You are one. And the message is sit down and shut up, and we're going to inject issues of race into everything. We're going to actually create racism and division because we need it. We need it to divide and conquer you. We need it to control you. We're going to inject issues and make it the big national divisive issue over sexual preferences. We're going to inject these issues. We're going to make a third of the time in high school and college be about sex and race instead of reading, writing, and arithmetic and history. There's a reason we were number one 50 years ago in global test scores and are now, depending on the measurement you look at, 47th, 53rd, way behind not just first world, but a bunch of third world nations. It's done by design. We have the government handbooks. We just released the scientific destruction of minds video. We first posted at prisonplanet.tv for the members, then we move it to the YouTube channel for the entire public. And your support of prisonplanet.tv finances these films, these documentaries that are then given to the public. And that's why it's so important that we get even more members at prisonplanet.tv so we can expand. But I got off on this whole idea of prior constraint and how that's the ultimate tyranny. We're going to enslave you for your own safety. Well, who protects us from the protectors, which in history always get on power trips and overreach and have to be brought back into line?
If you...
By the way, we were up here till late last night, and Rob Jacobson, one of our chief video editors and filmmakers, has not slept to complete the special report with some in-depth information on Rick Perry that undoubtedly is going to make the news. And we're going to premiere this live video / audio report coming up in an hour and 6 minutes from now, or technically 12:33 Central Time, so about an hour and 7 minutes away. We're going to premiere that 15-minute report here. It's not at prisonplanet.tv yet. We're going to premiere it streaming to the prisonplanet.tv subscribers and, of course, to all the radio listeners. It is also an in-depth audio report, and right now Rob is back there writing up the key report on it, the text that will go along with it. I would imagine, and in fact, I meant to talk to him during the break and give him this good news so he could add it to it, and I'll give you that good news here in just a moment, dealing with the TSA and the fight being led by Texas. And yes, Rick Perry had his arm twisted politically by massive pressure by some of the leaders in the House and the Senate, and the fact that David Dewhurst has been devastated in the media, his heir apparent for the governorship, the lieutenant governor, when he got caught sabotaging the legislation when it had almost 100% of the votes. They had unanimous in the House, and they only had one person claiming they were going to vote against it in the Senate. So they had a near complete unanimous vote, and he went in and sabotaged it and told people, don't let folks know I'm sabotaging this. But another senior senator, Dan Patrick, who himself has been groped, said, I'm not putting up with this, buddy boy. I saw you on the floor with the Justice Department people twisting arms. I'm coming out against you. You make me sick. And we're also working on getting the state rep on who led the fight in the House, Simpson, and he's been involved in exposing the fact that Perry has been caught lying. And he finally called Perry out on the carpet yesterday, and so last night Perry announced that he would add it to the special session. Only the governor could do it. But not before he got caught lying on video. Not once, but twice. That's only part of the special report coming up. Listen, I would love to have a real Texan as president. Okay? I would love to believe in Rick Perry. But I can't be conned. Okay? And I've been conned in my life. But once bitten, twice shy. I cannot be willfully conned. I cannot be willfully ignorant and willfully lie to myself because I have pride in Texas. And I'm proud of the good people of my state and their history of fighting tyranny, okay? The frontiersmen of the frontiersmen, okay? The creme de la creme of truly swashbuckling, hardcore people, some of them criminals, a lot of them serious trailblazers. This is really where some of the greatest frontier battles went on across the board against the French, the British, the list goes on and on. Mexico, and I'm proud of the Alamo and the whole nine yards. And I'm sick of George Bush giving Texas a bad name, and now Rick Perry. And I'm telling you, he's going to probably be the next president. He's going to be a disaster for this country, just like Obama's been. And that's what they need is a gimmick for the public. And Obama was a gimmick. Literally packaged by Pepsi executives and Google executives. That's on record with the logoing, and he's going to fix everything so they can just sucker you a few more years. Then you wake up to Obama, and he's now as worthless as used toilet paper. I mean, he is uncool on campuses. The Obama stickers are coming off. Come on, folks. Couldn't you just listen early on? Do you have to get totally conned? And it's the same thing with Rick Perry. Okay, see, I'm already getting into the special report on Rick Perry. But I want to give you part of it, the good news here in a few minutes. And there's lots of good news. Texas tells feds, shove your light bulb ban. Texas is saying that they're not going to go along with it. Leading the way again. And here's the Houston Chronicle headline. Perry adds anti-groping bill to special session. The whole nation looks at Texas. And the bill that rose from the ashes. And they even give yours truly credit that we led the first big demonstration that took over the Capitol. But I'm controversial conspiracy theorist Alex Jones led the first major rally against it. So good job, folks. It shows what you can do. All right. I've got some really exciting news, some other positive news. When we come back from break, you're not going to want to miss this transmission today. Special report coming up at the bottom of the next hour where we really look at Rick Perry very close. He's not going to like it.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Freedom is popular. Freedom is a winning idea. Ron Paul was being attacked on a national morning show a few days ago, and he said, look, all I want to do is legalize freedom. And that really says it all. Now, I want to take you to the Drudge Report right now for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Obviously, for radio listeners, you can just go there. DrudgeReport.com. And there is the good news we're going to get more into later in the hour. Texas no-grope bill back on. And then you scroll down a bit into the article, and they are linked to Kurt Nemo's report that giant marine drill confirms ground invasion plans for Libya. Again, huge marine drill confirms ground invasion of Libya at Infowars.com. It's since scrolled off the front page because it was posted last night, but you can find it on the front page of DrudgeReport.com. And we're going to be going over that report at the start of the next hour. But let me get started now with just some of the good news. Obviously, the good news is that, as I just said, freedom, liberty is popular. No matter how the system tries to demonize it, no matter how the system goes after it, no matter what labels of extremist or racist they throw at it, at the end of the day, we all instinctively know big government's corrupt, big government's bad, big mega corporations working with government, even worse. We know basic liberties are under assault. We know that government and big corporations lie, even when the truth would serve them, because it is their criminal nature. And that they have gotten into the positions of power they're in most cases, by engaging in crony capitalism or fascism, the opposite of free market. And that it's big government teaming up with mega corporations, doing backroom deals to shut down their competition. So that's really good news. Some of the other big news. For the last 3.5 months, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the LA Times have beaten the drum and gone along with the 2+2 equals whatever Obama says, not 4, and that this is a kinetic action, a peace action, and that the bombing of Libya, the ground troops in Libya, all of this is freedom. And that those of us that are calling it a war, and those of us pointing out that Obama said we'd be there days, not weeks, and then those of us pointing out that U.S. ground troops were there advising from before the uprising happened, and that we pointed out that in Egypt and in Syria and now in Yemen and also in Libya, that it's now admitted what we said is true, that it was U.S., British, and other NATO forces behind the scenes working with al-Qaeda to start the wars in these countries to then destabilize the entire region. And a lot of people, you know, as this news started to come out, said, well, this doesn't fit with the official narrative that we've got to have TSA literally crushing our genitals because, you know, Osama bin Laden may be hiding in our underwear. People took a double take. And Bilderberg Group, we learned from a few months ago at their steering committee at a trilateral commission meeting, got very upset that it was starting to come out in mainstream news that al-Qaeda was the core group in Egypt, in Syria, and in Libya that the West was working with. That destroys their official narrative that we've got to take all your rights and train the Boy Scouts to spy on mommy and daddy because al-Qaeda might be hiding in, you know, daddy's liquor cabinet or in the medicine cabinet, you know, because they train the kids. This is to fight al-Qaeda, but what's daddy smoking? Does daddy drink when he drives? Tell us. Say, oh, it's al-Qaeda, but tell me about daddy. Tell me about daddy's guns. This is all on record. They have law enforcement in the 6th and 7th grade now training. Chances are your public school district has this, your government training center. And the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, generally 6th and 7th, a semester, they take a law enforcement class. And then it's ATF funded. And the ATF, known terrorist, who burn down churches and cook Ryder truck bombs, very nasty folks, and ship weapons into Mexico to frame the Second Amendment. Generally, most of these law enforcement programs have a local deputy who's federalized under the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and they come in and actually have the kids write essays about home life. Isn't that nice? And they file them on a computer now, and guess who gets that? The Justice Department. And the kids are there hiding in plain view. Parents aren't even noticing. This is in my film Police State 2, The Takeover, now out 11 years ago. And we have the school documents where this was going on in Tennessee and Georgia and other areas. And since it's expanded, where they're writing reports about mommy and daddy as their essays for the law enforcement class with the ATF officer at the front. And everything is safe and everything is wonderful and everything is good. Am I saying all the police are bad? No, to the contrary. Am I saying that everybody that works at the ATF are terrorists? No, but the leadership are. Am I saying that everybody in the military is bad? No, on average, military folks are better than the general public in my experiences and their knowledge, the fact that they've lived in the real world, they're willing to sacrifice something, they got in for the right reasons. But I'm sorry, the people running it are evil and have a very anti-liberty, anti-freedom agenda. So that's the point I wanted to make before I get to the really good news, is that this morning I ran over a curb at my house, not paying attention, something I've never done, and scratched my car a little bit. Then I was driving down the road, and my window got chipped. It was kind of a bad luck day so far, but knock on wood, it's going to get better. And then I got pulled over for no inspection sticker. because, you know, I get busy and hadn't got it inspected. It'd been out a month. Folks, we have such a police state now. The police are everywhere trying to generate revenue in this country that years ago I'd forget and go 6 months without an inspection sticker. This thing was out less than a month, and I was pulled over by the motorcycle cop. And here's my issue. This guy on his motorcycle was driving down the medium on the highway right by my car, just a foot or so, which I think risked the officer's life. This is reckless. But they tell him to do this. He whips around through heavy traffic, weaves in the next 3 minutes. I knew he was coming up. I said, I bet it's the inspection sticker. Turns his lights on. I pull over. The point is, I watched him risk his life driving erratically, but that's how they all drive. You know, he's not breaking policy. They're told to go out and risk their lives. And I'm sitting there with horror watching him weaving through the cars to get up to where I'm at. I'd already pulled over in the slow lane so he wouldn't hopefully kill himself, you know, trying to get up on me. And then he comes up, and I took my children to work today. So he comes up, looks at the children in the back. And I looked in the guy's eyes. You know, he was a type who, you know, clearly former military, got into being a peace officer because, you know, it's the job for somebody who's gotten out of the military and he wants to help people. And he says, your inspection sticker's out. I said, yeah, I know, I need to get it. And he said, well, get it. I'm giving you a warning. And he was nice and, you know, let me go. But the point is that he was risking his life. And I'm just all over the map today. I don't care. Because I got here literally at showtime. He was risking his life. And this goes into so many facets. I see police hanging their rear ends out on major highways when they pull somebody over that doesn't know to get on the shoulder. I think that's probably why I usually almost always get let off for speeding or anything, is because I actually pull off the road. I notice the people that don't always get a ticket. But the point is, folks will pull over right on the edge of the shoulder with cars coming by 6 inches away, and the cop will stand there with their hind end out in the highway. And you know the number one cause of death for police, and you can look up the numbers, is automobile accident and being hit. It happens all the time. In fact, last time I saw the statistics, it dwarfed how many cops are killed being shot. But they've got cops so scared of being shot, so scared of the citizenry, but they're not scared to be weaving around through traffic to get up there to that person that has their inspection sticker out. Now, why am I getting at that? It's the nanny state. And look, you could have arguments for and against inspection stickers, but they started with commercial trucks to, quote, make sure they were safe, and then it's expanded out to everybody. And then you've got the Mexican drug cartels, a more violent war than the Vietnam War going on, spilling over into my state, and it's on record that we have sanctuary cities, and the cops just let most illegal aliens go, and if they don't, they get reprimanded, and the judges just let them go. So I would have been mad if he wouldn't have let me off. I wouldn't have let him know I was mad. I would have been irritated in that it's not justice. It's not fair. It's selective enforcement. If I get the inspection sticker ticket and you're risking your life to pull me over to tell me about my inspection sticker, but you're not risking your life with the crime wave invasion that's going on because the people that direct you and command you don't have you doing serious business. They have you out there revenue collecting, revenue generating, and no amount of revenue you collect is going to keep you from losing your pension funds because these metrics are set up by the international banking cartels where the money is impossible to pay back. Okay? It's a fraud. It's loan sharking. We've broken that down with countless economists. Now, I really am ranting here, and I need to get to news. This is what happens when I get here late and don't get reset before I go live. Because I prepare before the show at home, and then I got to kind of sit here for 10, 15 minutes and get ready, or I'm all over the map. But sometimes folks say that makes for even a better radio show. You know, I don't read off teleprompters. I want to be clear about this. I don't go off notes. I go off news I've scanned over or covered previously or are going to cover that day or as news is brought into me. I analyze it and go over it, but I don't have a teleprompter. And that's why you should trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan said. I attempt to be honest. I attempt to be accurate. I attempt to really tell you what I'm really thinking and what I really believe, okay? But when you talk as much as I do, you will make mistakes. And all the time I hear rebroadcasts and here I flip names or flip numbers. I tend to be a little dyslexic. Yesterday, I didn't rehear the broadcast. I was jogging this morning and thought about it and remembered that I got something wrong. And of course, you wouldn't even know I got it wrong because unless you're in my family. But I was telling the story about how they're announcing that they're going to try to ban over-the-counter gold sales July 15th and how the major exchanges have made that announcement. And I had Ted on to talk about it. And I made the point, well, my grandmother said her dad in Dallas, who owned the first Chevy dealership up there, just a little factoid, didn't turn his gold in. And then after this morning I'm jogging and I go, I know full well everything about my great-grandfather on my grandmother's, on my mother's side. He worked at an oil company and it was a lease hound, a bunch of other things. And he lived down by Beaumont later before going up to Dallas. And see, the reason it all merged together was she said he didn't turn his gold in. And then it was my grandmother on my mother's side's husband, my grandfather on my mother's side, whose dad owned the car dealership. And I knew that. But that's what I'm saying is that I don't have teleprompters here, ladies and gentlemen. So sometimes when I get moving fast and got 100 thoughts going on, I will say the weird amalgamated things that are truthful but aren't. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm so busy keeping track of everything else everybody else is doing that then it all just becomes a big swamp, basically, in there. Okay. We got the Tarpley YouTube clip from that. Oh, yeah, the other positive news. I told the folks out there during the break I wanted to show the great success and how the nation's news desk, remember that photo many years ago of the White House press corps in their offices and dozens of computers all in the Drudge Report. But, I mean, it is the nation's news desk, and America leads the news, so it's the world's news desk, and it is one of the greatest accomplishments we've ever had to have Matt Drudge running our material, carrying our news, our information, and we have a double Drudge link today. I just marvel at it. We're in the Houston Chronicle article at the bottom, actually giving us the credit, but kind of in a backhanded way the Chronicle does. For leading the way against re-energizing the showdown with the feds who've threatened an economic blockade, shutting down all air traffic if the state tries to enforce the law. No police officer can stick their hands down your pants without a warrant in an emergency or total probable cause because you just shoved a gun in there or drugs or whatever it is. So how can they do it? Well, the showdown's here. We're going to be talking about that positive news, but also I talked about how YouTube has taken all of our honors. I don't care about winning a trophy. I care because then on dozens of subpages where most people go to pick what they're going to watch, when you have those honors, when you're number one in news and politics and education and all these other areas, when you have that icon, then it puts you at the top of all those pages. And then if they take those icons away, you then lose your links to all those pages. And so the video doesn't go viral. But something strange has happened. Normally, you can't go to the front page when they've been taken away. But since we started protesting this, our honors came back for about an hour yesterday. The guy that runs our YouTube channel broke that down for me and then went away again. But we have three videos on the front page. Our World War III video has been on the front page. And two Tarpley videos, the elite's plan for global extermination, which I'm so pleased by, that is the number one and number two most viewed videos in education. And just thank God that report is having such a big effect and now getting massive amounts of attention. By the way, Tarpley, well, I'm going to get Tarpley on about this video because I've seen some of the people that don't have a deep grasp of things historically. When he speaks out against Darwin and he says one of the chief philosophers of the British Empire, they're thinking about the Christian atheist argument about is the theory of evolution correct or not, when that was only one of his theories. Tarpley doesn't get into religious stuff. Tarpley believes in the mainline scientific view of things. Not to put words in his mouth, but talking to him, he believes in evolution. what Tarpley is talking about, but see, they show their ignorance. They go, I'm a scientist, and this Tarpley's an idiot because he says Darwin was a chief philosopher. They think just talking and saying Darwin was a eugenicist means that Tarpley's an idiot. Because they're religious. See, their religion is worshiping Darwin. And so you don't talk bad about their God. He's talking about social Darwinism and the idea of kill the weak in the human structure. Or have a predator class over the Suboids, the Morlocks and the Eloi, you know, that Wells wrote about. So it's these fake scientific people that wear these little hats but are pinheads and have literally no knowledge. They sit there and then say Tarpley's an idiot because he's indicting Darwin for the eugenics ideas. And then they automatically say, don't talk about our God. You now don't believe in evolution. Well, that's not even what's being debated or discussed in these videos. It's about the facts of the global extermination program. Sometimes I want to get away, I want to fly away, but if I don't, the bullies, the tyrants are going to have their way with me. Okay, I started getting into the good news and kind of diverted off into, hey, people are really waking up. Just my radio show is a gauge of that. But the positive news, and there's a lot of it today, but here's one of the big ones. I started getting into the fact that earlier, that they tried to sell this lie that all these new wars are not wars and are humanitarian. And it turns out it's 100% confirmed, admitted that the State Department, the CIA, British intelligence predominantly has really been honchoing most of it or jockeying most of it. Captaining it is a good term for the Brits. Their system has really been pushing it in the Middle East, North Africa, and Central Asia. To overthrow these countries using rebels. They fund, they give weapons. They have them go out and machine gun cops and military. The cops and military go pounce on them. And then they go, oh my gosh, they're brutalizing the innocent people. And I'm like, well, yeah, a lot of these countries are thug run. But the fact is this was all triggered by the West, and they're not putting freedom in Egypt and other countries. Once they topple them, they're even taking more rights away. And actually putting what our media calls the radical Muslims in power. The Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda Lite, on record. And you're like, well, why would they do that? Well, why did they create Al-Qaeda? Because they're going to end up then having another war in the next few years with those guys. This is full spectrum dominance. The globalists create all sides of the conflict, and then they organize it and come out on top. This is very elementary. People need to stop thinking of us versus them and start thinking three-dimensionally and see the global spider webs of the corporatocracy over us and the global standardization and how they're setting this up. I mean, it's admitted. They write countless white papers on it. But you talk to the average, yuppie who thinks they know it all. They're like, nobody could run something that complex. And I'm like, these people are masters of organization and compartmentalization. 40 years ago, they had cruise missiles they could shoot from 1,000 miles away down your chimney. And yes, they went to the moon. And yes. And they come out with all these silly conspiracy theories that can't be proven one way or the other to make people who question look bad. But it isn't working anymore. The government lies out of hand. You're saying, well, then why do you believe in the moon landing? Because I have sources inside NASA. They put on some fake stuff for you. See, there was a lie. See, it's not just did we go or didn't we go. You were shown the Tinker Toy stuff because you're not supposed to see what they really got. You're not supposed to know the thousands of astronauts that have died. Oh, yes. In fact, I should do a whole show on that. In fact, this is the kind of stuff will get you killed. I shouldn't even get into things I know because I don't have the absolute proof in front of me. I just have sources and evidence that backs it up, but I'm digressing. What's the good news? That the hoax that this wasn't a war and that Obama isn't a warmonger and that Obama is this peacenik Nobel Prize winner. It was all a globalist joke on us to see if they could sell war as peace, and it's blown up in their face. All over the news, the mainstream corporate media tried to sell us this, including the Washington Post, and now they're capitulating because no one is buying them and their hoax is falling apart. Here it is right here. Obama's negation of hostilities in Libya draws criticism. The White House has officially declared that what's happening in Libya is not hostilities. And then it goes on from there to have his own Pentagon lawyers being overruled, never happened before, telling him, you got to get congressional approval. It is a war. And the fact that they go over the fact that the public isn't buying it and the left and the right aren't buying it, no one's buying it. See, this is what Karl Rove said 6 years ago to the New York Times. I control reality. What we say reality is what it is. You report it. And if you accept that, you're in 1984. But what's happening is more and more people are seeing the emperor is not wearing any clothes. He's butt naked. He's not wearing a fine cloak. We see you, scammers. We see you, liars.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we're now into hour number two. We're working on getting the state rep on who has been leading the fight against the TSA corruption. We have that really good news. Best place to find is DrudgeReport.com. It's also up on Infowars.com. In Paul Watson's article, TSA Showdown, a watershed moment in battle for freedom. Rick Perry, under incredible pressure, has now capitulated to the people of Texas and America, and the Washington Times and Lou Rockwell and myself and the listeners of this show saying, look, pal, we know you killed the bill. You had your lieutenant governor do it. Quit claiming you're for the bill when you're really against the bill. And he got confronted and got caught lying a few days ago. We're going to break that down coming up at the bottom of this hour. But that is very, very exciting news. As I mentioned at the end of the last segment, it's very exciting news that Obama's negation of hostilities in Libya draws criticism. And it goes on, the fact that the official statements of the White House have officially declared that what is happening in Libya is not hostilities. Thousands and thousands dead on both sides. Images of giant, you know, 10-story buildings being vaporized and exploding into hundreds of thousands of pieces of shrapnel. At least two U.S. troops already dead from the U.S. Army, according to our sources. Dead contractors. More U.S. Special Forces on the way. And now the media, more and more, is beginning to, in fact, there's a whole bunch of news reports out today saying, yes, ground troops are being readied. And, of course, we also have the article by Kurt Nimmo. Marines prepare for massive training exercise. And the headline is, huge Marine drill confirms ground invasion of Libya. And Kurt Nimmo's article breaks all of that down. I'm busy here. Busy reading the Drudge headline because it's a little bit different than ours. And that gives me their take on what they see the article covering. Marines prepare for massive training exercise along beaches from Florida to Virginia. So we're going to be going over that report as well today. In some of the other news, we're going to obviously have that report on Rick Perry coming up. That's going to have some breaking information for you at the bottom of the hour, so please spread the word about that key information coming up. But we also have this report by the American Dream that I think is excellent. 14 reasons why Rick Perry would be a really, really bad president. And number one, Rick Perry's a big government politician, and then they document that. not what he says, it's what he does is that's important. The debt of the state of Texas is out of control under Perry, contrary to what he says. The total debt of Texas government has more than doubled since Rick Perry got in. Rick Perry has spearheaded the effort to lease roads in Texas to foreign companies. Number five, Rick Perry claims that he has a track record for not raising taxes when he has repeatedly raised them, and they have links to all the proof of that. Number six, even with the oil boom in Texas, 23 states have a lower unemployment rate than Texas does. Back in 88, Rick Perry supported Al Gore for president. That's right. In fact, Rick Perry actually served as Al Gore's campaign chairman. I didn't even put this in my special report coming up. I'd forgotten about that. What a dirty little creature. Between December 07 and April 2011, weekly wages, and it just goes over it all. In fact, I'm going to cover this. I'm going to cover this more coming up. It just absolutely blows my mind that all of this is happening. And we got a lot of other important news coming up. Stay with us. We got Gerald Celente coming up as well.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right. State Representative David Simpson, who has captained the entire operation to stand up against the federal power grab, the Fourth Amendment violating, grope downs, the hands in the pants, is voting right now. But as soon as he's out, he'll either be on with us today or tomorrow in Texas special session. Again, the super big news is that it's top news at the Drudge Report, which means it's the top story in the country. Texas no grope bill back on. And, of course, the article breaks down the fact and the subterfuge of Rick Perry. It's incredible. It has quotes here where Senator Patrick exposes Perry for the fact that he sabotaged this bill a month ago secretly and did not want it known. Quote, apparently for political reasons, he came up with this elaborate political play to kill the bill without his fingerprints, Patrick said, speaking to the drama over the anti-airport pat-down bill that failed. When asked about how that would affect his relationship with Dewhurst, the right-hand man of Herr Perry, he paused for a while before answering the question. I have to ask myself, Patrick said, before trailing off again. And then later he said, I could not support him for U.S. Senate or governorship, which Dewhurst is getting lined up for to replace K-Baby or Perry, either in the Senate or the governorship. Probably the governorship's the inside baseball. He's not sure, so we're not sure. And then it just goes over the fact that Perry was caught lying. The Houston Chronicle, Joe Hawley, reports that Perry told activist Wesley Stein Strickbein that they simply weren't the votes to pass the measure and they didn't have the votes, an answer that he wasn't pleased with. And then a letter was put out by Representative David Simpson, an open letter to him, documenting the fact that Perry is a liar. Perry says on the video, and we're going to play some of that coming up, he says, well, there's not time to introduce the bill, when Perry can add weeks anytime he wants to special session, when there is plenty of time. It's one of the most popular bills. And then he says, we don't have the votes for it, when they have already passed it unanimously in the House and near unanimously in the Senate. And the representatives have reported they're probably going to have unanimous votes again. They've got close to unanimous already on record saying that they'll vote for it, because to try to get the governor to add bills, they can have mock votes, and they've had one of those. So Perry said, we don't have time, I can't put it on, and we don't have the votes. And the person was informed and said, yes, you do have the votes. And the guy walked away, and Perry said, come here, get a picture, shake my hand. You know, I'm gonna bend you over a barrel here, buddy. I'm lying to you. I'm insulting you, but that's okay because I know how to talk like a Texan boy, and I want me some possum grits and some possum stew, and I want me some armadillo dumplings. Get Granny Clampett out there in the cement pond. I killed a coyote in the middle of Austin. Yeah, I'm a rootin' tootin' pow, pow, Yosemite Sam. Ooh, I'll kill all you. Want to hear a Yosemite Sam imitation? Not to get into character to do that. Reckon, reckon, reckon. I mean, why not? I'm convinced that you could dress up like Yosemite Sam and America would elect you, because there's that archetypal Western image of John Wayne going to save you. And so basically we have a male cheerleader who voted for Al Gore. Oh, he worked for Al Gore. You didn't know that? Rick Perry, but of course you're going to elect him. You love it. You Republicans love Al Gore. You love to fail. You love to be conned. You love to be defeated. And you are going to elect Perry president. You are going to bow down just like all the idiot liberals did for Obama, for the establishment candidate. You are going to lick his boots. And when Sarah Palin and him run against each other and have little cute gaffes that are all scripted, oh, Perry's not going to like the fact that I have this intelligence info on them. It'll just like Obama and Hillary, then there'll be that secret meeting with the two, and she'll come out and announce that she's going to be his VP. Oh, yes. And we're going to have Rick Perry as president and Vice President Cutesy Pants right there, Sarah Palin. It's over. That's who they've got lined up. Not Mitt Romney, not any of them. That's at least what Rick Perry and Karl Rove think. So they have these fake fights between Perry and Karl Rove. And, Perry doesn't like Bush now. And this stuff is put out to conservatives. Maybe he doesn't like Bush because he stole the election from his buddy Al Gore. I don't know. All right. When I said I was going to cover Perry later, and I'm already getting into it. But we do have a special announcement about Hair Perry coming up at 33 after here in about 17 minutes. So there you have it. We're going to be going over all that. And starting in the next segment, building up to this special report on Perry, I had even forgotten this, but when I saw the reports, it refreshed my memory, and I went to the links, and there it was admitted. Did you know Perry worked for Al Gore? Mm-hmm. Rick Perry worked for Al Gore, and he worked for him recently, boys and girls. Let me tell you, and he's a male cheerleader. Oh, that he's going to the top there. Bush was a male cheerleader. Trent Lott, a bunch of. If you look at the U.S. Senate alone, last time I looked, of the men that are in there, close to half of them were male cheerleaders. Now, again, you got to be a male cheerleader to be in this Bohemian Grove club. Male cheerleaders. Or I'm sorry, if you're not a male cheerleader, it's okay. As long as you're a male ballet dancer like Rahm Emanuel, the Chicago mayor. I mean that's, we're ruled by Barney Frank and male cheerleaders and male ballet dancers. But it doesn't matter if you're a ballet dancer. If you wear a cowboy hat, you're tough, okay? You wear a cowboy hat with the tights on and the ballet shoes. I can just see Rick Perry in ballet shoes with a cowboy hat on, wearing a thong, and he's just tiptoeing around. Maybe he can do a Las Vegas show for Chippendales or something for the ladies. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to talk bad about a big Al Gore supporter like Rick Perry. And you know what Rick Perry told a Fox News source? I'll just leave that alone. Behind closed doors, he said, there's only three people I'm fearing right now, and I'm about to knock one of them out, and that was Deborah Medina, because if she'd have beat him for governor, obviously that would have wrecked his presidential aspirations. But he said it's Ron Paul, Alex Jones, and Deborah Medina, because what he fears is a true constitutionalist that you could call conservative, and some people see things through their own lens. I just want freedom. I don't want your labels. I'm pro-gun, pro-private property. I'm anti-abortion. If that's conservative, whatever. But it's not conservative to go around warmongering and butcher the Bill of Rights and Constitution and shell out to foreign banks and support bailouts like Glenn Beck and Mitt Romney have done. Mitt Romney wrote the Obamacare in Massachusetts that was the main model of what we got. I mean, I can just see straight. I can talk straight. My job is easy, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have to sit here and gauge what I'm going to say and think about what I'm going to say, because I know what I believe. I know who I am. So that's why I don't want anybody's labels. I'm somebody who wants freedom. That's what I am. I'm one of these evil sovereign citizen type people that wants to be left alone, that doesn't want to be bossed around and controlled. I'm an American. And if I'm evil because I follow the bedrock beliefs of what this country was founded on, then call me evil, nail me to the wall if you want. I'm a heretic. I'm evil. I'm not a good little socialist, okay? I'm not a good little commie. I'm not a fascist bootlicker. I'm not here to lick boots. I don't want to rob people. I don't want to run other people's lives, and I don't want you wanting to rob me or run my life. You got it? I want my privacy. Stay out of my life. Stay out of my relationship with my wife. Stay out of my relationship with my children. Stay off my land. I'm like one of those hillbillies. Get off my land, boy. I'm Rick Perry. I love Al Gore. Oh, Al Gore. What's it take to be a Republican candidate for president? Male cheerleader, check. Al Gore supporter, check. Same thing with Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich wrote the foreword to Alvin and Heidi Toffler's two of their books, calling for world government. I keep meaning to print off the foreword from that and quotes about planetary government, the end of America. All right, coming up, we're going to go over Rick Perry and the fact that he's been pressured into doing the right thing. We're going to skip this break coming up because during my caterwauling here, we have gotten State Representative Mr. Simpson on with us, and we do have his letter here that he sent a couple days ago after one of his constituents got video of Rick Perry saying that there's not time to reintroduce the anti-groping bill and that we don't have the votes, which clearly Mr. Perry had to know was the case. So we're going to be going over that here, and this is national news. One of the top stories in the country is this Houston Chronicle article, Perry adds anti-groping bill to special session. And in this article, they have Senator Patrick exposing Dewhurst for killing the bill secretly at the behest of the Al Gore supporter, Rick Perry, Mr. Cowboy Hat. So joining us is David Simpson. Representative Simpson, thank you for coming on with us, sir.
Thank you for having me, Alex. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Now, for those that haven't heard you before, tell us who you are. Tell us about Texans Against TSA Tyranny and your quest after having your daughters groped and where all this is leading.
Well, I'm a representative from Longview, representing House District 7. It's my first year in the state House of Representatives. And this has been pretty amazing. This is the right message, the right time. The people's support for dignity and travel has just been huge. I've just played a role in representing them. I'm very grateful for just God's providence in bringing all this to pass. It's been like a tsunami, the support, not just from all over Texas, but actually the nation. When the Washington Times and New York Times and Drudge took it up, I began receiving letters from even Democrats from all over the country, one from Denver, one from Massachusetts, one from Berkeley. And, you know, I've never written a politician before. I'm a Democrat. I've never written, especially a Republican. This is a tremendously needed bill. Keep going. This is not about partisanship. This is about freedom. It's about dignity and travel. I mean, there is no federal statute that requires the groping of people to travel freely. That's just outrageous. And this bill just simply draws a line and saying what is a reasonable search. And it's a shame that we even have to do it. I'm sorry, I probably got away from your question there. You may have to remind me what you asked.
Well, no. It's just that it's outrageous. It's over the top. It's in our face that the federal government's out of its jurisdiction. It's violating the Fourth Amendment. It's violating sexual assault laws. A police officer, if they randomly grabbed a woman or man's crotch, they would get jail time. Anybody would. How can they? The feds won't produce what law or statute they have to do this. I know your office and countless other offices have done that. Utah is lining up. Now Michigan,
that's right,
is lining up. So I'm so proud of Texas leading the way. And when you don't first succeed, try again. Our storming of the Capitol Like wild hyenas first going to the wrong house. We apologize, but it doesn't matter. Then going over to the Senate, going to Dewhurst office and letting them know that we were aware of what's happening. The other rallies that have been down there, the phone calls, the newspapers, the Washington Times asking Perry to do the right thing. Why do you think, and I know you don't want to get into inter-party fighting, but just to have the record clear, why do you think it was so hard to get Perry to do the right thing, A? B, what do you make of him claiming, because I call it a lie, I mean, he was the lieutenant governor before, he knows they had a unanimous vote in the House, he knows you guys had the votes, to say that we don't have the votes, and to say we don't have time, as he said in that video interview, that is outrageous.
Well, I couldn't believe he said it either. I mean, the man caught him off guard, and perhaps he just misspoke. I mean, I want to think the best of our governor. He can take the lead on this issue now. It'd be huge for him. He can do much more than I've ever been able to do. And I'm just so thankful that he put it on the call. It's a tremendous opportunity to say that we've got to rein in out of control federal bureaucracies. And it's not just federal. We have state bureaucracies that are out of control as well. And this is time that we enforce the Constitution. He's spoken a lot about it in his book, Fed Up. You know, this is time to say we're fed up with the TSA, not just the EPA, but the TSA. There's more statutory authority for what the EPA is doing than what the TSA is doing. There's no statutory authority for the groping of private parts. And, you know, of course, the EPA reinterpreted the laws with respect to clean air and clean water. And so I'm so grateful for his fight there and the Attorney General's. We, you know, the Constitution, as Jefferson said, is to be a chain that binds down our public officials and to keep them from hurting the people. And what we have right now is these general laws being made, and then these bureaucrats just go way beyond and doing just ridiculous things. And we, as the public elected officials, need to rein them in. And that's what this law is about.
Representative Simpson, I want to talk about how we ensure that other little dirty tricks aren't pulled in the Senate by Dewhurst or, I'm told, scurrying around. Frankly, even worse is the Democrat, Senator Kirk Watson, the former nightmarish mayor, land grabber of Austin, the Don of Austin. What do we have to look for? How are they going to try to kill the legislation now? How do we ensure the legislation gets passed?
Well, I'm very thankful for the lieutenant governor asking for it. First one to ask for it, being put on the call the day before the special session. Then I asked for it. And then Senator Patrick asked for it. We have the votes. At least we have. I think we continue to do. We don't take anything to granted. You're right. I mean, there are things that are done in closed doors here where the press doesn't have access to that are very disconcerting. But on the other hand, we have public statements from these men. I take them at their word. I'm grateful for their leadership. But the people just need to know that this is just a step forward. This is not, I don't want this to be a Pyrrhic victory. We have got to hold each one of them accountable and encourage them to support this bill, not only in the Senate, especially in the Senate, but also in the House. We do have 112 co-authors in the House, and I'm expecting another unanimous vote on Friday. The bill is set for Friday in the House. I was hoping it was earlier, but the chairman of calendars assured me that was the best date. And I've been in touch with Senator Patrick, and I'm hoping that he will continue to move his bill, which is identical, forward in the Senate. And hopefully there'll be some co-authors. And
all right,
the people just need the right facts and call.
The fight's not over, but I want to shift gears in the brief time we have. We're very thankful for you coming on, sir, on short notice. The head of the Energy Commission in Texas and another state rep reportedly, Fox News, I don't know if you've seen that, that they were in New Orleans. For those that just joined us, I'll recap it. And that they held him for 40 minutes and actually crushed his genitals to the point of causing serious pain. He was sore reportedly for hours. And that's been confirmed that they almost lift you up off the ground. I have seen them with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura when I've flown with him actually squeeze his testicles to make sure they're not, you know, I mean, this is, I don't normally talk like this on radio, but we have to describe what's happening. What's your view on them saying we're doing this to punish you? I mean, these people are psychotics.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I've also received similar testimonies, outrageous abuse. There was a man from, I believe it was Massachusetts, he told me they pressed his testicle against his thigh. I mean, and that just can cause this terrible pain. And it's just outrageous that these things are routinely being done without probable cause. And this is a reasonable measure. This is a reasonable place to draw the line. It's got to be either here or with a body cavity, and this is definitely the place that should be. Utah's, I think, considering not even allowing them to touch the body. But the other issue is we moved this from sexual assault, part of the penal code, to official oppression. And that's really what this is. I mean, they had one TSA agent who told a man who had removed his belt, as he was asked, and he was holding his pants. And she said to him, you know, hold your hands in there. And he told the man, I said, ma'am, if I don't hold my pants, they're going to fall to the ground. Hold your hand in there. I have power. I have power. And so he puts his hands in there, and his pants fall to the ground. This is egregious. And this is the part of the...
Well, they rip colostomy bags off people.
That's right. And this is why it's already an offense in Section 3903 of the Penal Code, official oppression, to impede, use an unlawful act to impede someone from enjoying a right or privilege as a citizen of the United States or the state. And this is just defining it more clearly. And it just shouldn't have to be groped in order to travel or to access a public building.
Well, now, sir, as you know, they've a federal judge ruled they're going to be at school proms, and the TSA is now showing up at malls, randomly searching people, and you can't make this up. They actually have the Boy Scouts with them helping spy on people. It's like we woke up in an alternate dimension.
That's just outrageous, and I've read where they had a contract to make the scanners where they could virtually strip search people as they walked by on the sidewalk or going into a football game. You know, what we've got to stop doing, there's a real fundamental issue at stake here, is the role of the civil government to punish the wrongdoer or is it to prevent wrongdoing? And if it's the latter, we're going to lose our freedom. What we need to do is swift justice when people do wrong and otherwise get out of the way and leave them free.
Innocent until proven guilty. Representative David Simpson, you need to run for governor. You need to run for U.S. Senate. You are the type of patriot we need who quotes Sam Houston. Friday's the vote. Folks, we haven't won the war yet. We've won this battle. Everybody call the Texas legislature. Good job, Representative. Okay, well, we had Representative David Simpson on, and he's trying to be a gentleman and be nice, but Senator Dan Patrick's a senior senator. He's on record saying that Dewhurst, basically at the behest of Perry, killed the whole thing secretly. Well, no kidding. They had every vote in the Senate but one, unanimous in the House, and then they killed it, and Dewhurst said we didn't have the votes. Well, see, the lieutenant governor can kill bills himself. He killed it. But then told people, I don't want my fingerprints on this. No kidding. Because they want to move up and be federal toadies. They want to play ball. But we've let Rick Perry and the whole nation's let Rick Perry know, listen, buddy, we're going to keep your hind end in line. It's the same thing with Obama saying, these aren't wars. These aren't wars for the last 3 months in Libya and other areas, in Yemen. And no one's buying it now, so the Washington Post and others have gone from saying it's not a war, you're a conspiracy theorist to call it one, to going, Obama losing credibility, no one buying it. So this is the type of exciting things that are happening. Now, I've done something a little special that's a gift to Rick Perry to try to get people to actually pay attention to his real history. And I want to be clear with listeners that... You can just search the term, or we have links to it in the story, at Infowars.com, 14 reasons why Rick Perry would be a really, really bad president. And I had forgotten some of the things that are in this article, like number 7. Back in 88, Rick Perry supported Al Gore, linked to mainstream news, for president. In fact, Rick Perry actually served as Al Gore's campaign chairman. This isn't somebody who, you know, supported Al Gore accidentally or was low level. He was the campaign chairman for Al Gore in the state of Texas. I mean, Perry back then was anti-gun, pro-socialism, environmental land grabber. I mean, you might as well elect Bill Clinton again. And it goes on all the taxes he raised in Texas. And one of the most sickening things Rick Perry does is he gets up on the news and he says that he's the reason Texas is doing so good. No, in spite of you, we aren't in as bad as a recession or depression as some other areas of the country. Now, we have titled this video, Rick Perry Announces Presidential Run. And technically, he hasn't, but in reality, he has. That's why 3.5 years ago, I said he'd run for president in 2012 in my film Endgame, because he went to Bilderberg. He wrote the presidential book. He's had Karl Rove in town secretly meeting with him, and I've seen Karl Rove in town on top of it. I know this from his security staff. I know this from Fox News high-level consultant. I'm not going to say which vice president. I have this from a Fox News host. This is over a year ago, and it's going to be Palin. Now, doesn't mean it's 100%. He's going to run. That's 100%. The system's going to kind of beta test Palin and Perry and others. But they believe that that people hate Obama so much that even though Texas has a bad connotation with some Americans because of Bush, that America's going to go for it. And he gives good speeches. He's smart. So is Palin. They're going to run against each other, then team up with him on the top of the ticket. That's what the top brains believe. And I've said that on air for over a year. I have on record talked about this, and you're seeing it. Now, remember, he pledged he wouldn't run, but his actions show he is running. Here is the special report, ladies and gentlemen, the special report premiering here. Rick Perry announces presidential run because with his actions, he's now broken his pledge. He says, I'm rethinking my pledge. Of course, he's already running. Look at all the speeches he's giving. So we're just going to announce it for you, Perry, because we already know from inside your campaign. Here it is.
Rick Perry's actions speak louder than words. Everything he's done so far tells the world, I'm running for president. And our inside sources confirm that's exactly what he's planning to do.
That's right. Texas Governor Rick Perry has announced that he's running for the Republican nomination for president in 2012. And you're hearing it here first at Infowars.com. Now, as the world media tunes in to this video, they're saying, well, where else do we have this information? Well, you see, officially, Rick Perry hasn't announced that he's running for president. But in the real world, he has. And I want to talk about that right now. Almost 4 years ago, I released a film called Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, where we predicted that Rick Perry would be running for president coming up in 2012.
Now, Jim, my governor, Rick Perry, it's in the front of the Dallas Morning News. The headline reads, Texas Governor Rick Perry to attend Bilderberg. What does it mean to have the governor of Texas in the Dallas Morning News just admitting he's going to Bilderberg Group?
It means he's a potential president. Officially, Bilderberg considers Governor Rick Perry a potential president of the United States.
And he indeed is now positioning himself for that. You see, he told you that he had a pledge that he was not going to run for president in 2012, but now he's rethinking that pledge. To go through all the data is mind-boggling, but bottom line here, we have sources inside Fox News. We have sources inside Rick Perry's security detail. After all, I live here in Austin, Texas, been on the radio and TV for 16 plus years. And we've known that for more than a decade, Rick Perry has been groomed to run for president by none other than Karl Rove, who back in the mid-1990s got him to flip from Democrat to Republican. And he was in that same stable.
as Senator Graham, of course, later President Bush, and now Governor Rick Perry. And so it was Karl Rove who basically put him in the position he is today. The Inside Baseball from sources in media, Texas Monthly, Fox News, inside the Perry camp, including people that work not just in his security but in his office. Everything from day one has been about Rick Perry being president. And now the media is saying he is the front runner, even when he has not even announced yet. So Rick Perry let us know that he had announced for president with the establishment, with the people that bankroll presidential candidates, when he went to Bilderberg in 2007. And we were on the scene documenting the fact that Rick Perry was basically there begging to be the heir apparent and that he was chosen. The modern political manipulators are masters at building up a candidate as the answer to all your problems. Everybody was mad at George W. Bush. So here comes Barack H. Obama, financed by the very same Wall Street interest. We are on record calling it that Rick Perry would be positioned to run for president. And now it's happening. But he plays the part of this reluctant candidate. Oh, dear, I've put out the presidential book of fed up. Oh, dear, I'm going to all the big conservative conferences and talking about how much I love Jesus. Oh, dear, I don't want to run. And then Rush Limbaugh and all the other big kingmakers come out and say, come on, Perry, we're drafting you. You've got to do it. You're the only one that will save us. The whole thing is 100% scripted. So let's look at Rick Perry's record. We already talked about the fact that he was a Democrat who was flipped by Karl Rove. But since then, as he rose up through Texas politics to the governorship, we have seen an extremely duplicitous politician in an overall field of lying scallywags. He is a master manipulator. Let's fast forward to 2007. The incumbent governor travels to Bilderberg to be vetted by the global elite, just as Bill Clinton, the obscure Arkansas governor, traveled there in 1991 to then be catapulted in 1992 and 93 to the presidency of the United States. A few years later, the obscure, even more obscure, member of parliament, Tony Blair, went to Bilderberg, bowed down before them, pledged to push England into the European Union. He becomes the new heir apparent and is put in as British Prime Minister. Well, Rick Perry had studied history, and his advisors had explained to him that bowing down to the globalists was key. But first, he had to prove himself to them. He had to hand over the Texas power plant infrastructure to private offshore consortiums. He had to sign over more than 8,000 miles of paid-for Texas roads directly to the private Spanish company Sentra and put tolls on those roads. And when the Texas legislature voted by an overwhelming majority to stop the Trans-Texas North American Union highway system, Rick Perry came in and vetoed it. But that wasn't enough to prove himself. He then came out in a giant criminal hoax and said all Texas schoolgirls must take the Gardasil vaccine. It is the law. I am commanding you. Well, first off, a governor can't do that. All he did was recommend it be on the list of recommended vaccines to the state health department. Then it came out that Gardasil was a product that the big pharma didn't want to put on the market because it was killing girls in the trials. And so by government mandating it, vaccine protection laws kicked in that protected the companies from liability, from the deaths they knew would result from this dangerous live virus vaccine being put on the market. But something else happened in that key year of 2007. Ron Paul was announcing his run for the presidency out of Texas. The Tea Parties formed right here in this state and had huge marches rebuking the Democrats, but also George W. Bush for his tax and spend system and all of his wars. Rick Perry in 2008, 2009 was being booed at Republican events. Suddenly, he shifted gears. He said, why I kill coyotes in the middle of Austin while I'm jogging? I want Texas to secede. I'm against the New World Order. Down with their world government. I'm tough. I'm going to deal with corruption. All of this was the establishment realizing that blue blood, Rockefeller Republicanism was dead with the populace. So the Tea Party had rejected him. The Texas legislature had overridden his vetoes. Perry was in deep trouble. So he rebranded himself as the ultimate super patriot who was going to fight the New World Order. And now he's positioned himself, along with Sarah Palin and others, to be the presidential candidate who gets the nomination in 2012. So you heard it here first. Rick Perry is going to announce all of his actions have already technically announced that he's running for president. All the speaking tours, the book, everything he has said and done shows you that he's running. But from all of our sources, Fox News host, Fox News executive, people inside the Perry camp who work with him in the state government, other inside media sources I have in Austin, including Texas Monthly, have all confirmed that it has always been the establishment's plan to put Perry in the White House as our new imperial emperor. And then you have Perry, don't forget, breaking his pledge and saying, I'll never run for president. I'm all about Texas. We may have to have our own country. And exaggerating his Texas accent to now, I may break that pledge. Well, he proves himself to be a corrupt politician and not a statesman again. Just like Bill Clinton saying, I didn't have sex with that woman, or George W. Bush's daddy saying, read my lips, no new taxes, or Obama lying about ending the torture and not hiring lobbyists. Rick Perry is like his father, the political establishment that can be described as nothing less than devilish. And so in the interest of time, I will give you one more example that didn't happen a couple years ago, but is happening right now. Texas unanimously voted in the House, 138-0, to enforce the law and to order the TSA not to sexually grope people that are attempting to travel on aircraft. And he used his minion, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, according to Senator Patrick and others, to kill that bill in the Senate when they had every vote in the Senate on their side but one. They could have passed it with a overwhelming majority, but Dewhurst killed that bill. Then we fought for a special session. The special session was called, and I interviewed the different members of the State House, and they said, we just know Rick Perry, who's claimed he supports this bill, is going to put it on the special session. Only the governor can list the bills on the special session. And what did Rick Perry do? Rick Perry waited a few weeks as the Washington Times and Lou Rockwell and others begged him and said, you're our only hope. The nation's looking at you. What the TSA is doing is wrong. It's a federal power grab. Add it to the special session. Don't make the rumors true that you had your minions kill it in the Senate. And Rick Perry was silent. But finally, after he was confronted over and over again, he publicly lied. We're going to play a clip of that in a moment. And told people at book signings and other events that, oh, I'm sorry. There's just not time to get it into the session when the governor can expand the session out as long as he wants. And then he went on to tell a bigger lie. He said, we don't have the votes. When they have a near unanimous vote already lined up on record and the bill has been tentatively reintroduced, he just has to give it his seal of approval.
We're fed up with TSA tyranny, if you'd sign that. So I'm just wondering what your intent is on bringing the TSA legislation in the special session.
They're not going to have it. They don't have the votes on either side. That's what I told them. I said, bring me a multitude of votes. And they never had it.
Well, Senator Patrick's wrote a letter 2 days ago indicating that there was the votes in the Senate, and there's 112 co-sponsors in the House. So would you consider bringing it up in view of that?
Not enough time left in the session.
So he's lied publicly. He used his minions inside on record now, the State House, to kill it quietly, and he didn't want his fingerprints on it, Senator Patrick and others, exposed. Now, he waited to put it on the special session. As the public pressure mounted, he comes out and says, I can't, there's not time, and we don't have the votes, when they've got the votes with a supermajority in the House and the Senate to pass it right now. Letters have been written by State Rep. David Simpson, who authored the bill in the House, pointing out that now the head of the Energy Commission was flying out of New Orleans with state reps. They pulled them aside, grabbed their testicles, crushed them, racking them in pain, and they said, why are you doing this, to punish me? And they said, yeah, we're doing this to punish you. The feds are so out of control, they're singling out our Texas leaders and our legislators and literally torturing them.
Let me put this delicately. I was still feeling the effects of the pat-down as I sat in my seat from New Orleans to Houston and then Houston to Austin.
And Rick Perry gets up and lies and says, we don't have the votes, when he knows damn
well. All right, folks, we're going to come back and play the rest of that special report. Then I'll get into a bunch of geopolitical news, economic news, police state news, nanny state news, and the good news of how the population's waking up to fight back. Then Gerald Salente's coming up in the next hour. Stay with us. Okay, we've launched this Rick Perry video. It's gone up on Infowars.com. Rick Perry announces presidential run. Rob Jacobson, who stayed up all night to finish the video, wrote a little blurb, but I've got Kurt writing a blurb under it to explain why we're announcing for him. Because we've known for a year absolutely that he was going to do it. Texas Monthly reports they have sources that confirm he's been getting ready for it and plans to. And he's doing this whole reluctant hero thing. And so he's lied to people and said, I'm not going to run, I pledge. Now he's going to rethink his pledge. He was lying when he gave that pledge. He didn't rethink it. That's the key. And that's what Kurt Demo is going to add under the video. He lied. When he gave that pledge 3 or 4 months ago, and now the headlines, Perry rethinking pledge, he did that so Rush Limbaugh and everybody could beg him to then run to whet everybody's appetite. Oh, that they dragged the reluctant hero in there. So that's why I put this video out, so that we can expose that fact that Rick Perry has announced for president, because he was always intending to. And when he said, I pledge to not run, he was lying then. He didn't just reluctantly then start to change his mind. He's a deceiver. He was Al Gore's campaign chairman in Texas. He's for the NAFTA highways, the forced deadly inoculations. He covertly used Dewhurst, according to Senator Patrick, who said he witnessed it, to kill the bill. Then he wouldn't put it on special session. Then he lied and said he didn't have the votes. And so that's... because Kurt's listening right now, I didn't have time to direct him during the break. Kurt's going to add the blurb on there that, understand, we have made this announcement for him to expose the fact that he's duplicitous and that he was always intending to run and played this game I'm basically just giving you in my mind why I did this. That's the big issue for me, is that we knew he was running. We had it from his security detail, Fox News exec, Fox News host, how it was going to be Palin, the whole way this whole thing was planned. More info from more of the security detail in just the last few days from separate sources. He's got a big security detail. This is an open secret, and he's going, oh, I pledge I'm not going to run in 2012. I pledge, knowing the whole time he was. It was his plan to run for president back when... I almost called him his White House name of Turd Blossom. Karl Rove picked him, George Bush and Senator Phil Graham, before he was a senator, picked them out of Texas politics and put them to where they are. It's always been his plan. He's got the pre-presidential book. He's got the tour. He
lies and says, we don't have the votes.
I mean, this is incredible. This is incredible. He is a deceiver. And so Rick Perry's announced for president. He's announced by all of his actions. He always planned to. So that's why we gave it that headline, so it gets the maximum attention, so we can expose who this Trojan horse is. We're going to go out to break with the end of the special report, and we'll come back with a third hour with Webster Tarpley, and then we're also going to have Gerald Celente on. Here it is. When he knows damn well it passed unanimously in the House, and the sponsor of the bill says they've got the votes to ram the sucker through, and they've got all the votes on record. He's counting on your ignorance. He's counting on you to buy into the packaging of a Texan and of a patriot, when all Rick Perry will do is give Texas and America a bad name, and he'll betray you just like George W. Bush and Barack H. Obama, and he'll ensure that somebody like Ron Paul, who doesn't have the fancy hair of Rick Perry but has the constitutional's record, is defeated. If you so-called rhino conservatives buy into Rick Perry, you get what you deserve, just like you Obamanoid idiots. So there you have it. Rick Perry has announced he's running for president. I've got it from inside his campaign, and all his actions announce it.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I'm going to get Webster Tarpley to just pop in for one or two segments ahead of Gerald Celente, because the video we posted a couple weeks ago for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, the global elite's extermination plan for the population, I forget the exact headline, it's the number one and number two videos on YouTube on their front page in the education section. And, you know, it's not enough to get a few hundred thousand views. This video needs to have millions of views exposing the eugenicist system. And Tarpley made a few points in the video, and it's getting overwhelming, you know, positive votes. People can vote dislike or like. But some people don't understand when Tarpley talks about Darwin, whether you believe in evolution or not, that's not what Tarpley's talking about. Tarpley is talking about the fact that Darwin was also a Malthusian who talked about getting rid of populations. So his view was, we're doing people a favor to kill them. That's what social Darwinism grew out of, and that is the main driving philosophy, if you had to pick one, behind the global elite and their rationale and what they're obsessed with. And a modern priest in the system is John P. Holdren. So I'll recap that and bring Tarpley up in the next segment right now. I'm going to actually pull up for myself. There it is. The Elite's Plan for Global Extermination Exposed by Dr. Webster Tarpley. It's an hour-long special report in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. And by the way, I've done 2 hours here and have not plugged sponsors and have not plugged Infowars.com and the online video bookstore. And if you believe in what we're doing, folks, get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Get a Discover the Spirit of 1776, Infowars.com shirt. Support our sponsors, because that's how we fund this operation. And, you know, I get emails from PrisonPlanet.tv members, and they say, well, Alex, most of what you have on PrisonPlanet.tv is also on YouTube. Why should we pay $5.95 a month? Well, that's the whole point. I'm not doing this to make money. If you believe in what we're doing, it's fine to drive a car that doesn't break down, to have a comfortable house. I mean, I don't mind it. But my mission is not to make money. My mission is to build this operation, to launch more and more TV programs, to make more films, to hire more people, to effectively confront the globalist. And it's your purchase of the books, the videos, the tapes, the materials that makes this radio show possible. And you get the expanded podcast, commercial-free podcast, higher-quality video. You get it first, the films first. We are going to start the TV show very soon. We've beta tested it. In the next month, it should launch. That's going to be streamed live exclusively for PrisonPlanet.tv members. You'll get it in higher quality, on demand. We're revamping PrisonPlanet.tv. We've already done it once, but we're making it even better. Some of the old stuff's dead links. We're trying. And it's got the higher quality audio podcast, my book, Paul Watson's book. It's all at one spot. expanded extras, other documentary films. We're not authorized to post at YouTube, but the owners have authorized us to post them at PrisonPlanet.tv. They are there. So much more being added. All these special reports flying all over the country. All of it at PrisonPlanet.tv. 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Get a yearly membership and get 3 months free at PrisonPlanet.tv. Again, that's PrisonPlanet.tv. And you can also support us again by supporting our sponsors. Webster Tarpley coming up, but it's so exciting to be winning the intellectual war. It's so exciting to be having a big effect for people to be finding out what a monster John P. Holdren is. But then I see some people, when he's quoting from Holdren's book about forced infanticide, abortion, sterilization, cutting off resources, getting rid of two-thirds of the world's population or more, to then people, the so-called scientific, you know, people that claim, I'm a scientist and there are too many people, and Tarpley says he doesn't like Darwin. Well, he's a kook. Again, it's not even about a debate dealing with evolution. The debate is dealing with Darwin's main beliefs, and they show their ignorance when trying to claim they're smarter than Tarpley. But I've researched all this stuff, and Tarpley's dead on. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got top trends forecaster Gerald Celente dealing with what he predicted a year ago, the first great war of the 21st century. Call it World War III, World War IV by any gauge. It's leading into a world war. People tend to think a third world war as thermonuclear in the Russian connotation, with the Einstein quote about, I don't know what's going to happen with World War III, but I know World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. So we'll get his take on that in the next little short segment ahead of Gerald Celente. But I wanted to get Doctor of History, he's also an economist, Tarpley on, Dr. Webster Tarpley, because a few months ago we went to D.C. We do this for PrisonPlanet.tv, folks. We went to D.C., and shot an hour with him of many hours of interviews just on John P. Holdren's book and other government documents where they openly say planetary regime, global extermination. I've now got the fact that they're developing airborne Ebola. That's another report that we're going to be getting to later. Better get to it now. They're going to send a hit team over here. But the issue, this is dangerous stuff, folks. The issue here is that I wanted to have Tarpley school some people in this live radio slash TV transmission so I can then put a link up on the elite's plan for global extermination exposed by Dr. Webster Tarpley so I can put it as an addendum video for the sophist, the kooks, the so-called scientific cultist. Because they'll say, I'm a scientist, you're not, you're an idiot. And you see these guys, wannabe scientists or people that have a, you know, biology degree or whatever. We've interviewed hundreds of scientists exposing the global exterminism program. And they say, Tarpley is, you know, evil. Tarpley is a liar. How dare him say that Darwin was bad when I don't even particularly know Tarpley's view on Darwinism, creationism. I don't know him to even get into religious stuff. The point is, Darwin was a neo-Malthusist or Malthusian. And in his writings, and that grew into social Darwinism, which is the main driving religion of the global elite, that it's their right to kill us, steal from us, enslave us, because it's their right to dominate. Well, that's a predatory system turned against we the people. Yes, humans are predators, but mainly builders and explorers, and we look outward. We don't feed on our own people. That is an aberrant development as civilizations got bigger. And that gets into sociology, anthropology, archaeology, but the point is, I've studied all of this, and I know what Tarpley's talking about when he gives a gestalt of, you know, look at who John P. Holdren, the White House science czar, likes, and he mentions the three big proto-eugenicists coming out of the Malthus school, and he calls himself a neo-Malthusian, and so Tarpley talks about Darwin and these scientists and wannabe scientists, the Star Trek type fan people, you know, who is a particular cult. They then scream and say, don't talk about our God, Darwin. So I thought I'd get Tarpley to briefly explain what he's saying about Darwin and why he criticized Darwin. Because here's this book, here's all these documents, here's all these State Department memorandums, here's Tarpley giving total proof of everything he's saying. And this minority of people are throwing fits and savaging him and saying, there are too many people. And by the way, how dare you talk bad about Darwin when we're not even debating one way or the other. That's a tar baby, the theory of evolution. And the point is, it's on record that the theory of evolution was developed hundreds of years earlier in Italy, other areas under other names. Again, he was just a little, you know, royalish family that they picked to popularize it. So they're also plagiarist. And that's on record that Darwin was, again, a sophist plagiarist. So that's the issue. Look at the issue at hand. So there are a bunch of neo-Malthusians mad at Dr. Tarpley for devastatingly savaging them. And Dr. Tarpley video is number one in education on the front page of YouTube right now. It's at the Alex Jones channel. They're trying to shut down right now with red tape and violations saying we're racist for not loving Obama. We've actually been told this and given a violation, so we may be shut down any minute. We're told if we challenge it, they may completely shut us down. So it's just incredible what's happening. But Dr. Tarpley, they're coming after you for that, and they're also saying when you say the current ecosystem would collapse without humans, they don't know about all the major studies that humans have changed the ecosystem and that much of the ecosystem we now have is dependent on humans, and that in many cases, humans actually better their environment. They don't know your great knowledge that I've separately researched. When you give a gestalt statement, they say that that is a ridiculous fraud and that we would be better without humans being here. Better without humans. We are humans. It's this white flag running it up, saying humanity's bad, deciding we're scum, deciding we're trash to be taken out. And they, as they attack you, they show what neo-Nazis they are, so brainwashed and controlled, Dr. Tarpley, they don't even know they're Nazis.
Well, I would call a lot of these people quackademics. In other words, they're academics, but they're charlatans. And no matter how many degrees they have, they remain charlatans. What you see, of course, through between the lines of their work is a profound hatred for humanity and, I'm afraid, a will to genocide. And this is now genocide on a planetary scale. It goes beyond the genocide in Central
These are East. Gibbering, demonic control freaks who have not been accepted in life because they are malfunctioning, disgusting twerps. And so they turn that inner frustration outwards, looking for power and to kill.
Well, and some of them, of course, have gotten very high. Like John Holdren has now become the White House science advisor. This is a mockery and a travesty beyond belief. But what they are singing essentially is the eternal song of the oligarch. The oligarch has always got to justify why should certain selected families or financiers rule the world. What is it about them? Are they more competent or whatever it is? And they've always got to invent some kind of an ideology to say the vast mass of humanity is inferior, subhuman, and does not deserve to live. And their basic idea is you pollute, you're a threat to the polar bears, you're a threat to the snail darters, to the storks, to the penguins, and all the rest of it, and therefore you have to be exterminated. And this is a profound contempt for concrete human individuals, the vast majority thereof. Now, in terms of the theory, Malthus is without doubt the biggest crackpot and also one of the most evil influences in the 19th century. Remember that Malthus is a plagiarist. He plagiarizes from the work of Gian Maria Ortes, O-R-T-E-S. If you look on Tarpley.net, you can see an essay I did about this at the time, I believe, of the Rio conference back in the mid-90s. He's a plagiarist.
There's you actually have been to many of the UN conferences. You've actually worked in Rome. You've actually traveled the world. You've actually read the books. You're not just somebody that says, oh, I'm a scientist, Tarpley's a kook.
I had the honor of being thrown out of the Rome International Food Conference, the United Nations World Food Conference held at Rome in November of 1974 by the Food and Agriculture Organization. They threw me out of their conference because they said that I was asking questions.
Well, these are people looking for an excuse to kill so they can have everything for themselves, the classic mode of tyrants. But getting back, what's your view of Darwin? Because you criticized Darwin for his neo your promotion at the
Malthus. Essentially, Darwin exists within the framework established by Malthus. Now, the problem with Darwin, the main problem, and then we can talk about some of the more politically obvious ones. The big weakness of Darwin is the so-called blind watchmaker, and he expresses this by saying, when God created the universe, if he ever did, then he did it as a blind watchmaker. In other words, he didn't know what he was doing, and what he's trying to express is the idea that evolution is purely random. Now, we have to distinguish. Evolution, in my view, is absolutely true. There is evolution. There's tons of evidence for evolution, right? The fossil record, the geological record, on and on. Historical evolution also comes into play. But Darwin is a whole different kettle of fish. Divide the question of evolution from the question of the charlatan Darwin. And Darwin comes in and says, the universe is fundamentally indifferent to development. The universe doesn't care whether there's development or not. And everything that happens in the universe is purely random, purely by chance. And I would say, and many others have said, this is impossible because there is no random process that leads to the development of an eye or other forms of positive evolution. And I'm not arguing anything supernatural, nor am I arguing anything that depends on religion per se. I'm simply saying that when you look empirically at the universe, you'll see that there is a built-in tendency towards development, that we go from lower levels of energy and organization to higher levels of energy and organization. In other words, the universe is not entropic, as Darwin or others might think, but rather the opposite, I guess.
Well, my point is that I knew that you weren't even debating. You were stating that Darwin had these Malthusian views and was anti-human, anti-development, and very nasty, and was one of their big excuses for what they do. And these weak-minded people run off down the road and don't even debate you on what you really said. They build this sophistic straw man with which to attack you, and they're just so intellectually shallow while they wriggle around talking about how smart they are all day.
Yeah. Again, my argument is the universe is negentropic. The universe tends towards higher levels of energy, higher levels of organization. It is not the watch that runs down, right? Newton is in the same tradition. Newton says it's a watch that will run down unless you rewind it. No. And Darwin
it's the school of entropy. Sure, but Einstein agreed with you. He said, God, does not play dice. And now more and more genetic engineers, quantum mechanics who were atheists, they start looking into this stuff. And they go, this is designed. There is order here with order building. This is not...
The word designed is a little bit charged. I would simply say there's a built-in bias towards development, a built-in tendency towards development. That is what you see empirically.
And Darwin attacks that. It's just an imperial...
Darwin negates it because he says it's a blind watchmaker. The key quote in Darwin is the blind watchmaker. This is the key to...
Stay there. All right, I could talk to Tarpley all day. And the other thing that they're attacking him on the video for is saying that the current ecosystem would collapse if humans weren't here. You know, he talks about the human-made ecosystem, and we have more forests than we had in North America 200 years ago. That's confirmed. Many areas where humans are actually is where the wildlife comes into. But these ignoramuses don't know about all those studies. Sure, there are things humans do that are bad for the Earth, but the Earth was born out of fire. It's very powerful. The ecosystems are incredibly powerful. I am worried about some of the cross-species genetic engineering and things like that that can, you know, infect the biosphere, but the environmentalists aren't. They just want to use environmentalism as an excuse to say, we vote for the cockroaches and the cockroaches outvote you, we're taking your property. That boils it down. But Tarpley, am I correct in what you said in that Gestalt statement about, you know, the current human-designed ecosystem would collapse? And you're just saying the current ecosystem... You're saying that humans have made contributions, not just things that are negative, correct?
Yeah, above all, agriculture, right? If you look at agriculture all over the world, this is whether you like it or not, and whether it's been done well or poorly or in between, agriculture is now an integral part of the world ecosystem. And human activity in general plays a role which can be negative, but it's also positive. And the point with these fanatics is that their hatred of humanity, their genocidal fury, is such that they can't imagine a positive role, right? They say humanity is the cancer of the earth, mankind is a disease, has to be exterminated, don't have children. This is simply the language of hate. Now, historically, that's also what it's been. If you look at Darwin, right, this idea of the struggle for existence, this leads you directly to Friedrich Nietzsche and the will to power. Nietzsche says, basically, I'm going to go you one better, Darwin. I'm going to get to the will to power. And that takes you straight to Hitler. So in other words, the roots of genocide are in this. On the other side, social Darwinism, the application of Darwin to sociology and social theory, an absolute disaster, because this leads to the most reactionary, the most brutal, the most cruel, backward, savage kinds of social policies, right? That the poor should die because it's their fault. They have failed. Or the idea, for example, that war is a good thing because it wipes out the weaker members of the human species.
Well, this is what it does. This is what it does. And correct me if you disagree with this, but I mean, it's just an innate instinct. I know it. To be human is to reach, to build, to recognize beauty, and to want to construct and trailblaze and explore. Certainly, we have the barbarous side to us that is part of our overall balance. But if you just say the barbarism, the brute, anarchy is what humanity is and dive into it, every civilization that does that degenerates. Those that reach for the stars build palaces of enlightenment.
Correct. In other words, the way I would say it is that mankind is potentially good, and the true aspect of humanity is scientific creativity and other forms of creativity. And this is exactly what Darwin never takes into account. You notice these people never talk about technology. They say the array of resources that mankind can draw in is axiomatically fixed. It's always the same.
And notice they control the resources. They're just creating a paradigm of artificial scarcity.
What happens if we come along with a new discovery, a new technology that allows us to define a whole new array of resources or parts of the material universe as resources, right? If we can, instead of having uranium, if we could use seawater as a fuel or sand as a fuel or anything else as a fuel, that would be a step forward. And this is exactly what they never want. And it leads them to these ridiculous consequences. They did this book about the limits to growth in the early 1970s, and they calculated that world society would break down within 20 to 25 years because of the exhaustion of natural resources. Well, it hasn't happened. And what has happened is that in many of those categories, we now have more proven reserves than we did then. John Maria Ortes, back in the 1790s, said that the carrying capacity of the world was 3 billion. That was the absolute upper limit. And now we have charlatans today, quackademics, who come back with the carrying capacity. Well, the carrying capacity changes when technology changes and science gives it the possibility.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, the useful idiots believe all this. The technocrats know they're just selling a collective guilt, so we'll give in to their fake green tyranny that isn't green at all to let them organize our society, and now they're selling everywhere. The end of humanity, the world without humans, all these TV shows and books, how sexy it is, how great it is to die. They're giving us a collective will to commit societal suicide so that the globalists can have it all for themselves. They have injected a psychic fail switch into us to flip off our life force survival mechanism, and I am an organic response like a piranha white blood cell against them, and I'm coming for you, and so is Dr. Tarpley. Tarpley, we salute you. Your video's number one on YouTube.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Great job. There he goes. Coming up, somebody else who believes in humanity and our destiny. We're going to be talking to Gerald Celente. Stay with us. Gerald Celente here in a moment to cover his latest Trends Journal that is really beginning to come true, that they're setting up the next great war of the 21st century. What is a great war? What is a new world war versus the archetypal idea of World War III, which people think of as war with Russia and nuclear war? But the definition of a world war is multiple continents, Africa, Middle East, Central Asia, more than two countries involved, major powers being sucked in, affecting all major nations on Earth with the dead troops, the economy. It's a world war. And I've got the definitions there, and he predicted it a year ago, and the last 6 months really came out with the breakdown. We're going to be talking to him about the latest developments there and all the news we've got here about the military escalations, including our report that's up on Drudge Report about the biggest Marine Corps drill, and now we're getting word the Army's involved ever on the East Coast in preparation. They're doing amphibious landing drills coming up here in the next week ahead of the Libya invasion. We have it confirmed from inside Fort Hood and other bases that more special forces are going in July, and then the ground force, the 3rd Corps under it, 1st Cav out of Fort Hood, going into Tripoli in late September, early October. So that's coming up in a moment. First, I want to tell you about a special. And this special ends in, 2 days? The 23rd. They only run specials like this once a year. You can buy 3 and get the 4th free of any of eFoodsDirect.com. High quality, non-GMO, non-hybrid. They've got special diet foods. They've got gourmet. They've got raw foods. They've got everything. They've got a whole bunch of different food lines. And they've got the biggest production facility in the country. They can package, what is it, with the new factory they built, 3 million packages, I think he said a week. I mean, they're the big guys. You get discount. They're pro-patriot, highest quality. I bought a lot of storable food and didn't like it. Bought it from these guys, loved it, then approached them as a sponsor 5 years ago. So that's why they're here. And with all the crazy things happening in our world, you need to get eFoodsDirect.com. Give them a call, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Oh, and look here, I can't read. I'm sorry. Offer ends Wednesday, June 22nd. 800-409-5633 or the letter eFoodsDirect.com. Banners on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And you know, because of commodity prices and food prices going up, they buy their food a year out. That doesn't mean they store it for a year. They buy contracts for, you know, next year's wheat crop, next year's corn crop, next year's soybean crop, next year's beet crop. And they're having to buy a year out. So the food they bought a year ago that just got, you know, harvested and now they're packaging, they're now having to buy out again. The prices have exploded. That's all over the news. Even though you're buying wholesale, it's going to go up. They've done their best job to keep prices low and have not raised prices since last year. But the rising cost of farmers and other suppliers has forced eFoods Direct to raise the prices, some of their products, beginning July 1st, 2001. So go to eFoodsDirect.com. Don't wait. 800-409-5633. Okay. Some good things are happening. Even the Washington Post had to run the headline today. Obama's negation of hostilities in Libya draws criticism. The White House has officially declared that what's happening in Libya is not hostilities. That's like if I say I'm God and I walk up and shoot you 5 times in the head and say, Bob isn't dead on the ground with his head blown off. Meanwhile, you're on the ground, the whole top of your head's blown off, you're dead, there's a big pool of blood, and I say, he's not dead. This isn't war, it's kinetic. And it turns out top military advisors, the top Pentagon lawyers, and by the way, they're now reporting throughout the week, even the New York Times says, the president's never gone against these lawyers. The lawyers have said it's illegal, you got to get congressional approval, it's a war, you're making a fool out of yourself saying it's not a war, Mr. Peace Prize winner. And they said, let them eat cake. And so that's now happening. But the good news is, just a month ago, the Washington Post and others were agreeing it wasn't a war. They tried to sell us this manure and tell us that it was chocolate brownies. People didn't even take a bite. They smelled it and said, we know what that is. So the point is, they're losing even more credibility because their lies have gotten more brazen. Meanwhile, NATO loses contact with one of their drone choppers. It's so cowardly, they don't even have, you know, troops in the helicopters. Huge Marine drill confirms ground invasion of Libya. That's linked on DrudgeReport.com. From InfoWars.com, Kurt Nemo's report. Kinetic military action of war. Libyans are still dead. UN exploits Libyan refugees, calls for taxing rich nations. Another scam. That's just some of the news we have. But to break it down, what he said a year ago, he said it's going to be war. When the economy implodes, when Europe starts going down, and he listed the countries in the order, we all thought it would be Portugal next, but now it's Italy imploding, but that was after Portugal. The point is, it's on. The Chinese are accelerating their dumping of T-bills, FT headline, Financial Times. Trades reveal China shifts from dollar. Joining us via video Skype is Gerald Celente. Always great to have him. You should subscribe to his great journal and valuable info at trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com. Gerald, thanks for coming on short notice.
Oh, always my pleasure. You know that, Alex.
It was great having dinner with you in New York.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, I'd been up for 2 days covering Bilderberg because my guys were up, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning my time and hadn't had any sleep. So I'm sorry, I was like a zombie.
No, it was a great night. It was fun to get together with everyone.
It was awesome. Now that we've dispensed with the more enjoyable pleasantries, you've really called it accurately. So tell us what's going to unravel with this great world war that they're calling peace.
What we have to look at now is what's going on in Europe, particularly with Greece and Spain. The people are taking to the streets. They know the deal, that there's no change at the ballot box. If you go to the ballot box, there's a jack-in-the-box in there, just another political clown. So they're demanding real change they can believe in. So there's no outs in this. For example, you pick up the news and you see one day Greece is going to be bailed out. The next day they're not. Greece is only a small player with this. And what is the bailout? The bailout means you have a second mortgage. Now they're going to give you a third mortgage, and the IMF is coming in to oversee the deal. All the IMF is, it's the International Mafia Federation. They're the loan sharks of last resort. You need the money, you go to the loan shark. But, you know, they're respectable. You know, they have three names in their name, like Dominique Strauss-Kahn. You know,
and they loan you the money that they got from you in the bailout. That's a beautiful system.
Oh, it is. And here's the deal. Where they tell you, go tax the people. I want the money. You tax the people, you don't bring in enough money. Then they come up with another line. They say we have to privatize. Privatize, I want your bridge. I want your water supply. I want your toll road. Gabish, that's all it is. It's a mafia. They're shaking down these countries. And by the way, people should understand, that's what happened in Egypt that set it up for what happened now. They sold the country out under, quote, privatization, which means taking valuable public resources and selling them to your criminal buddies for pennies on the dollar. So now it's imploding worldwide. As I said a year ago, follow the timeline. The crash of 29, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, real wars. The panic of 08, the Great Recession / Depression, currency wars, trade wars, real wars. We heard public enemy number one today, Osama bin Bernanke, say he's considering more stimulus.
Of course.
Great. Devalue the dollar more. Drive the people deeper into the ground. Make them pay more for everything. Because the banks need the money. They have to keep the Ponzi scheme going. That's what stimulus is, keeping the Ponzi scheme going. But it's all collapsing. And as I said, when it all collapses, they take you to war.
Did you see the quote? I reread it yesterday, a few months ago, with the Liberty Dollar that had been operating for 13 years, coining their own silver and gold. Even AP admitted that's totally legal. There's hundreds of companies that do it. But because he criticized the Federal Reserve, they arrested him, had the federal jury, who convict people 98% of the time, that shows how fake they are, convict him, and then the U.S. attorney on the FBI website said, these people are terrorists, we're going to get anybody that's got gold and silver, anybody that tries to undermine our financial system. Here they are, the foreign banks have done this, the Goldman Sachs have done this, They're wrecking us, and then they're now blaming a company with gold and silver coins that never pretended to be government gold and silver, publicly criticizing it, saying have alternative currencies. We got a whole bunch of states moving to do the same thing, and they're saying your terrorists were coming after you, and now the Forex came out and said that the way they interpret the new laws, that by July 15th, private sale of gold and silver will be illegal, and the word is now the feds are talking about trying to confiscate. I mean, these people, and I guess America will line up and say, because that's what happened in 1933, okay, here's our gold and silver, give us devalued paper back, and we'll line up, and the cops will have machine guns, and we'll just give it to them, and then they'll publicly ship it to Goldman Sachs and Bank of America like they did in 1933. I mean, I can't believe the stuff they're doing, Gerald.
Well, again, it was all predicted, all foreseeable. It's the biggest bank robbery in world history, and the banks are doing the robbing. And the only way this is going to change is to bring down the banks. And by the way, IMF is actually a verb, like IMF'd or IMF'd up by doing business with them. That's all it is. It's one big international mafia federation. They are robbing us in broad daylight, and the people are taking it. And that's what really discourages me the most, because they're still looking for a political solution. There's no such thing. It's an oxymoron. There's no political solutions.
Very well said, Gerald. But there are some good signs. I mean, Obama says these aren't wars. The mainstream media tries to play along with the emperor is wearing a beautiful outfit. And enough of us stood up like the little kid and said, hey, the emperor's naked. And now all of the media, they're going, yeah, Obama's a kook. Yeah, it is a war. He's super unpopular. Louis Farrakhan acted like he was the second coming. Now Farrakhan has called Obama a murderer. I mean, Obama's stock is going down really, really. I mean, as fast as horse and buggy whip stock went down when Henry Ford opened up his assembly line.
Yes, but it's only temporary. It changes on a dime. Look at the wimpocrats, those wiener liberals that aren't condemning Obama for what he's doing regarding the War Powers Act. Could you imagine if Bush tried to pull this off? They'd be screaming bloody murder. Look at the way the country rallied around Obama with the Osama versus Obama story. You know, you remember the one, you know, we got Osama, and now he's wearing cement shoes and swimming with the fishes. You saw how the people bought that.
That was almost as good. Obama could come out and say that July 25th, a large elf from the North Pole will come down your chimney. And I believe 35% of the public would actually be waiting at their chimneys for Santa Claus.
Exactly. So what's going to happen, Alex, as we predict this, as we're looking forward, watch for a false flag or a real crisis to happen. And the people will rally around Obama. This is as old as the Hitler days, you know, Goering. What you do is you use fear and hysteria to rally the people around the political leader. They did it with Bush. People forget how unpopular he was before 9/11. And there's a guy that couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, he becomes a huge hero.
What do you think of Rick Perry? Because he's been lying and saying he'd never run. We knew internally from people that know him, he is running. He's a protege of TB, also known as Karl Rove. And now he said, oh, I'm going to break my pledge not to run. I may run now. These guys lie even when there's no reason to lie. Turns out he was the campaign manager of Al Gore, and this is what people think is a conservative.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, if you're voting for the Republicans or Democrats, you're voting for the two-headed, one-party system. You're voting for a continuation of corruption, lies, bigotry, hypocrisy, and helping out their big buddies. And by the way, we're coming out with a trend alert tomorrow or the next day, hopefully tomorrow, and it's going to be the Salenti solution. And essentially what it is that the only way that I can see a more positive future, because people ask me all the time. I come up with the problems. What are the solutions? Is a direct democracy. They don't represent us. Perry doesn't represent me. Gore didn't represent me. Bush doesn't. Clinton doesn't. Obama doesn't. Gore doesn't. None of them represent us. They represent the people that give them the most amount of cash to stuff in their pockets. They call it campaign contributions. Adults call it bribes and payoffs. So on issues of war, on immigration, on health care, on education, do what they do in Switzerland. Let the people vote. And so what we're going to be doing is launching a major effort for the country to move toward a direct democracy. They don't represent me, and they don't know better than I do. I don't know everything. I only know what I know, but I don't need some jerk that's getting payoffs telling me, some little wiener telling me what I should believe, what I should do, and what's in my self-interest. I'm educated, and here's the example they're going to use. Mr. Salenti, it's not going to work. Why not? We could vote online. Oh, you can't vote online. There'd be fraud. Oh, yeah, you mean like in Illinois? Like in Florida? No, there won't be fraud. We could do what they do if you take it like this. If I could bank online, I could vote online. If I could bank online, I could vote online. Put the power back into the hands of the people. Bring America to we the people.
You know, I hear what you're saying about the Swiss model of direct democracy, but at the same time, they've super-navigated and circumnavigated the Bill of Rights and Constitution. The founders were concerned about a direct democracy because they can stage a new false flag or an OBL rabbit out of the hat and then stampede people. In a direct democracy, 51% could vote to enslave 49% of us, but we could have a direct democracy through a constitution and a Republican form of government where there's the basic codes that then can't be overridden. And will we still have courts involved? Let me hear more of your solution and your model on the other side, because the globalists have found a way to circumnavigate our Constitution Bill of Rights. And it's not that that's failed. It's we the people that have let these crooks do this. As long as we're apathetic, any system can be bamboozled and finagled. But we'll be right back with Gerald Celente.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913.
For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we're going to do 5 minutes overdrive with Gerald Celente. And I've drawn some silly, quick drawings of the two-headed monster of the Democratic and Republican Party, symbolized by Rick Perry and Obama. And they've just trampled over the skeletal remains of the Republic and are leaving some droppings behind for us. And here's another representation of the bloated government, and there's the people, another skeleton sucked dry. And the New World Order government is telling us to tighten our belts, but that they want more money, and that they made the sun come up this morning, that they made the grass grow and the flowers sprout. We owe everything to them. So, there you have it, my friends. There you have it. Going back to Gerald Celente, as we went to break, I made my comments about what type of specific direct democracy are you talking about? Because I see your point, and you're saying, you know, a solution, but wouldn't they just blow up some more World Trade Centers and say the Easter Bunny did it?
They're going to do that anyway, and they're rigging the game the way it is. So we're not getting anything. You take TARP, for example. The vast majority of the people were against it. Take Libya. If they had a vote, people would say no. Let the people vote. Let the people vote. If this isn't a representative democracy. As I said, the only people they represent, the politicians, are the people that give them a lot of cash.
No, you're right. The current system has totally been taken over, and Congress is just like a vending machine, and the ruling globalists just put quarters in it and then get the world in return.
That's right. And you know, I worked up in Albany, as you know. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the Senate. And I was also, in many years, I worked in D.C. I know what it looks like. I was a government affairs specialist for the chemical industry. So, I mean, I know how these things work. And it's the same thing. You know, money talks. And the politicians are talking for the money. And so what I'm saying is, on critical issues, whether it's immigration, whether it's war, whether it's education, name the major issue, healthcare reform, let the people vote. And we have no vote. We have, and here's the line that they keep throwing to us every election. Well, you know, if you don't vote, you get what you deserve. What do you mean you get what you deserve? A lesser of two evils? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, the last person I used to go out with, she was terrible. Oh, this one, she's just rotten. I mean, what lesser of two evils?
We're about to go to break and come back with five more minutes. I just want to point out that our article, Rick Perry announces presidential run, and he's going to run. He lied about the fact that he wouldn't run. He's now breaking that pledge. So we're just announcing for him because we have sources inside. 100%, it's a done deal. And this video exposes a lot of what he's doing. So please help us get that out to everybody. Also, while you're at it, you can visit all the great websites of Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. You can also put in another URL and find the great journal, and folks can sign up today for it and get your trends alerts as well, can't they?
Yes, they can. And also, we're going to have new specials on the Trends in the News features. We now have Hans Himmler, and he's America's favorite Nazi. He escaped Germany, hid in Argentina, and now he's come to America because it feels like home to him. So we're adding a lot more content to the for the Trends Journal subscribers.
So you're
going to
show the other side, pro-New World Order now. You've got a new contributor.
Oh, yeah. This one really hits home.
Absolutely. Great job on that front. We'll be right back to hit some other important news in Overdrive, internet only at PrisonPlanet.tv. Or on the audio streams. We're just doing 5 minutes. And I'll be back on all these great stations tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening to us on AM and FM, please spread the word about these great stations and be sure and sponsor them for helping get the truth out. Celente is our guest, and for the next 5 minutes, we're just flat out of time here. But good things are happening on many fronts. Texas has brought back the bill to enforce the law and arrest TSA agents when they molest people for official oppression. So many other things are happening, but on the economic front, things are getting scary. And this hoax, Gerald, that we haven't been in a recession for the last few years and that it's not a depression and all these fake numbers that come out of the Ministry of Truth, known as the federal government. Now we have the Financial Times headline, trades revealed China shift away from dollar. And they came out last week and said, hey, you guys have already technically defaulted, as we pointed out years ago. So, and of course, Bernanke's going to do QE3. I mean, the dollar's going to end up like the peso. This is going to be hellish, Gerald.
It is. And look what's happening. For example, in Brazil, the Brazilians are coming flooding into Florida now. Their currency's gone up 45% against the dollar. You look at depressed prices in Florida already. They're buying up properties, you know, for pennies on the dollar.
So it's like going to Mexico decades ago when the dollar was king. Now Latin America's going to come here because they're going to be the rich people compared to us.
That's right. And that's why I call Osama bin Bernanke, you know, the public enemy number one. He's the Dr. Death of the economy. And he just keeps killing it because he makes our hard work earn less. He makes us all work much harder and get less for it by devaluing our dollar so the money junkies can keep getting their fix. Again, look at the data you just mentioned. Housing starts. Oh, house sales are the lowest in 6 months. It just came out today. 6 months? You mean they're worse now than in January, in February, in March? You're supposed to have the spring bloom. They're in a depression. We're in a depression. And as I said, they're marching us off to war. Mark my words, Alex. Obama will have the people dancing in fear once again because that fear bandwagon began to roll on May 1st with that phony hit against Osama bin Laden. And it's just going to keep popping up every time they sink in the polls. Hey, remember Clinton used to do it. Monica Lewinsky, let's bomb Baghdad. Monica Lewinsky, let's send in some cruise missiles and wipe out some Al-Qaeda somewhere. They do it all the time, and they're going to do it again.
And later it even comes out that they issue fake terror alerts for political purposes. Governor Ridge even writes a book. They make money off of their lies. Bush writes a book that he ordered torture and makes money off of it while he sent people that follow the orders to prison.
Yeah, and as you said, what Farrakhan said, called Obama murderer in the White House. I mean, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue is murderer's row. You know, go back to the two Bushes. Go back to Clinton. Go back to Obama. Could anybody call a mass murderer what they are? A spade? A spade? Look, they just killed how many this week in Pakistan? One of those lovely predator drones. Hey, sorry, we missed. Hey, here's a headline from the Wall Street Journal. NATO admits Libya mishap. Hey, a mishap. We just wiped out your family and destroyed your house, ruined your neighborhood. Sorry for the mishap. Could you imagine if that happened in the United States? Boy, the flags would go up, the band would be playing, and they'd march us off to war.
You're absolutely right. And most of what they said about Gaddafi strafing crowds turned out to not be true. It's like the throwing babies out of incubator stories. And people send me emails going, how dare you be for Gaddafi? I'm not for Gaddafi. Leave them alone in North Africa. We're in there to get the oil and the water and the airports. It's sick. Gerald Celente, thanks for spending time with us. We look forward to speaking to you again soon, my friend.
Hey, always great being on with you, Alex.
All right, folks. Retransmission starts now. Great job, crew.